The Holy Gospel, according to St. Luke, the 24th chapter. Jesus himself stood among the disciples and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and terrified and thought that they were seeing a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you frightened? And why do doubts arise in your hearts? Look at my hands and my feet. See that it is I myself. Touch me and see, for a ghost does not have flesh and bones as you see that I have." And when he said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. While in their joy they were disbelieving and still wondering, he said to them, "Have you anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. Then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. And he said to them, "Thus it is written, that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things." This is the gospel of the Lord. All of the resurrection stories have the same thing in common, right? From the story that we hear on Easter morning, to the story of Doubting Thomas that we heard last week, to the story we hear today from Luke. And that's this: experiencing the risen Christ is not some ghostly encounter or just some feeling of the heart. The risen Christ, it's a physical, embodied, tangible reality. On Easter morning, Mary Magdalene tearfully embraces Jesus, unwilling to let him go. In the story of Doubting Thomas, Jesus shows up with scars and wounds on his hands and feet, inviting the skeptical to reach out and touch. On the road to Emmaus, Jesus stopped and broke bread with those scarred hands. In the Gospel of John, the disciples find Jesus, after they come in from a long day fishing, just sitting by a campfire, warming himself in the light of the fire. And today in our reading from Luke's Gospel, when the disciples are startled and terrified and still in disbelief, what does Jesus do? But he takes some broiled fish and he simply eats it. Every resurrection story in the Bible across the Gospels wants us to know this truth. When Jesus rose from the dead, it wasn't some sort of spiritual resurrection or just some metaphorical idea that we could conceive of. No, when God offers salvation, it's not just for the soul, but for our entire existence. Soul and mind and body. And this, my friends, this is very, very good news. Because being a Christian, knowing God, is as much about what happens to our bodies, right? The love and charity that extends from our open hands. The kind words that we share and the gospel truth that we proclaim with our tongues. The sonic vibrations of our worship music that reverberates within our ears. It has as much to do with that as it does with what goes on between our ears and what we ponder alone in our hearts. Right? This is not to dismiss the inner life or the life of the mind when it comes to our faith. But we do this thing sometimes where we exclusively talk about our relationship with Jesus or what it means to be a Christian merely as an intellectual exercise or just a private acceptance of our heart. And yet when I think about the strongest and most important relationships in my life, they look a lot like Jesus returning to the disciples after the resurrection. They look like sharing a wonderful meal. They look like a heartfelt conversation around a fire, like the tangible feel of someone's hand in mine. They look like an impossible adventure that we decided to have, where we look back after all is said and done and wonder how our feet have brought us this far together. They look like embracing one another at the threshold of a house, reminding each other that we will see the other person soon. These are the moments that bring us close to one another. These are the moments that let us know that we are what we are experiencing with one another is real, and it's good, and it's the most important part of our lives. For example, I think about my relationship with my wife, right? And you would think that the relationship of two pastors meeting in seminary, you would think that this would have been forged by the hours we spent between the ears, right? Studying in the library or in class, or the moments of the heart as we sat side by side in the chapel listening to sermons. While those were moments were life-giving and lovely, the moments when I really feel close to Kendra, when I could feel our relationship budding, when I felt like we were having a real moment together, they actually went a little more like this. If you know Kendra at all, this isn't that far-fetched to imagine, but when we were in seminary, Kendra and a friend of hers decided that it was a good idea to throw a monthly dinner for the seminary. The entire seminary. We're talking like 150, 200 people, students, faculty, staff, their families, just the two of them. Kendra and a friend. Cooking for 200 people once a month, every month for the whole academic year. And I know, this looks a lot like our Wednesday night meals, but let me remind you, this is just two women who are like 23. They didn't have an industrial kitchen. They had a kitchen in an apartment building with an efficiency oven. I put this up on the screen at our 9:27 service. I like to put up like theological points up there, but I put this up on the screen just so it would sink in. We're talking about 25 to 30 lasagnas. I'm just gonna let that sit there. That's a lot of lasagna. All right, this is a longer story, but I'll keep it brief. Guess, take a wild guess at who they called into service, right? Browning beef, cooking noodles, layering casseroles, trying to bake them all in our oven, realizing we were running out of time and calling every single person that we knew with a kitchen to see if they could bake a lasagna or two, right? Who'd they call? Yeah, that's right, the new boyfriend, me. And we felt all the range of emotions the disciples did in our gospel story today. Startled over the amount of lasagnas, terrified that 200 people would show up and go away hungry, disbelief that we had gotten ourselves in over our heads. But also, just like the story, when the time came and dinner time approached, the lasagnas arrived on bikes, by foot, through the rain that had started to pour that evening, and onto the great hall tables. And then the people started to arrive, crowds of people. And in each other's presence, the entire seminary community ate a meal together, giving thanks to God for the opportunity to gather, bodies next to bodies, eating, laughing, and living. You know, we look back on that moment, and laugh and thank God for that real, tangible, life-affirming, wonderful, wacky moment. And then I remind her that they had to do it all again the next month. And that next month, she made me cook 300 bratwurst on a charcoal grill at night. Let's just say that not everyone got a fully cooked sausage. I couldn't see what I was doing. We remember those moments like they were yesterday. I can't remember what books we read in the library together. I can't remember what those theology papers were about that we stayed up all night to write. But those real, tangible moments, those human moments of breaking bread with one another, of human interaction, and let's be honest, human shortcomings, but also human grace and perseverance, they were all on display. These moments were real, and they made our relationship real on that day, and then for every wild and wonderful day since then. And friends, this real flesh and blood between the teeth and in the stomach, Jesus, is the Jesus who needs to show up to the disciples after the resurrection too. Because it's only this physical, embodied, hungry Jesus who can rebuild the relationship with the disciples, the relationship that was pierced and broken as Jesus' body was pierced and broken upon the cross. This is the same body that was born in a stable. This is the same body that got lost and separated from his parents in Jerusalem. This is the same body that was soaked by the waters in the Jordan River. This is the same body that hungered for bread in the Judean desert. This is the same body that wept for his friend as he died. The same one that was adorned with costly oil. The same one that bent down to wash his disciples' feet. This is the same Jesus who gave his body as wine and bread so that we might know and experience his touch of grace when we gather. Friends, we cannot see the risen Christ or hear him call our name in person. We cannot reach out and put our hands in the marks on his hands and feet. And yet, we too need what the disciples had, this embodied, physical, hungry Jesus to show up. It was important for the disciples in order to calm their doubts and fears, and it's important for us because we're embodied, physical, and hungry people. We build relationships over dinner tables and taking walks with loved ones and friends. We grow closer as we go through real flesh and blood experiences with one another. We learn to love each other as we grow together, as our bodies fail and age, as our bodies ache and break, just like our Savior's. And so we need a Savior who makes a point to raise both body and soul from the dead, a Savior who can take all that is broken, all that's mistreated, all that's wronged, all that's forgotten in this world, from those who are needlessly killed by war or violence, to those who suffer hunger and neglect, from the cruelty that leaves scars on our hands and feet, to the injuries and illnesses that we carry with us. We need a Savior who will say, "Look at my hands and feet, touch me and see, for a ghost does not have flesh and bones as you see that I have just like you have." And this is why we come here. This is why church is so important. Because it's here in this place that we can tangibly hold on to and feel the bread and wine of the communion table, the water and the flame and the oil of baptism. This is a place we return to because it's a physical proclamation that our faith is as real as the hard woods of the pews you're sitting on. It's as sturdy as the brick building that we sit in that rises to the sky. It's as rich as the fullness of sound in our hymns of praise, as encouraging as the warm embrace of a long-standing church friend, as enticing as a smell of a delicious meal in Ritchie Hall. When Jesus visits the disciples after the resurrection, the story is always the same, friends. The story says, "Do not be afraid. It is I, the one whom you lived and ate and walked beside, the one whom you love. The body and bones and blood of the one who loves you." And just like the lasagna story, it's just another story in my relationship with my wife. Jesus' embodied resurrection is just another story, but a story in every Christian's relationship of love with God. And for that, we say thanks be to God. Amen.